Father, thank you for another opportunity to gather around your word. I thank you that the entrance of your word brings light, brings life to us. Speak to us today. We know that you always have something to say. And we, as your people, we are excited to hear from you because your word brings life to us. Your word changes things. Your word sets us on a trajectory to a good land, a good place that you have set aside for us. So today we say whatever you want for us is okay with us. Speak to us, transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who believe said amen. 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 Those who believe said amen. 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 Praise God. Acts chapter 17, it is good to see you in the house today. It's good to have you online as well. Last week we started to look at what I called wholeness by boundaries. These are some practical sessions that we have been looking at and digging into, because God wants us to be those people who know how to add corresponding action to our faith. It is one thing to believe that God wants you whole. When we talk about wholeness, we are talking about being in a place where you have nothing missing and nothing broken. Being in a place where you are whole, you are one, you are together, you know? Your mind is not all over the place. You are together. You are present in life and being able to enjoy and be fully present with everything that you are doing. It is having everything that you need for every good work. It is having integrity, right? It is being without fractures. And even where there is fractures, it is being, it is being made whole, being complete, right? It is having your whole pizza, you know, your whole pizza. And if there is anyone missing, it's because it went in your belly. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. Nobody, no pizza man stole your pizza. It's just like, you know, if you buy that pizza, you order it via Uber Eats, and then the pizza arrive and you open the box and there are three pieces missing. I mean, people know you're not going to stand for that, because this guy got hungry and decided to have a piece of your lunch or a piece of your dinner. You won't just walk around and say, oh well, these delivery. No, you will make some calls, you will rearrange stuff, because we are wired to be whole. We want all of it. We want to be together. Wholeness is the will of God for you. And so we started looking at this because God invested in you being whole. God is invested in you being whole. I need you to know that the broken state you find yourself in is not the state that Christ wants you to be in all your life. He doesn't want you to constantly be brokenhearted, to constantly be in grief. He doesn't want you to constantly be afraid. No, he wants you whole. Amen. John 5:6. We'll come to Acts chapter 17, but in John chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus sees a man who is paralyzed, and he had been that way. The scripture says he had been that way for a long time. In fact, the scripture says Jesus, knowing that he had been in that way for a very long time, he asked the man a question. He says, do you want to be made whole? He says, do you want to be made whole? And I pray today, because that question is still pertinent. We looked at this last week, how it is the case that it's an important question, because the reality is not everyone wants to be made whole. Some people are getting bread by being broken. Amen? Being broken pays. It pays. Don't make me move on. It pays. Some of you are looking, yeah, I know. No, it does. And so what can happen is you can try to enjoy it. I use this example a lot. My daughter hurt herself the other day, and so we're thinking, obviously you cuddle, you do all those things. Can I say, oh, okay, come on, lie down. And she was supposed to do her homework that afternoon, right? So obviously she's not feeling well. Can I just watch TV instead? Can I just lie down here? Oh, I can't move. Oh. because when you are hurt, you know, you get some kind of attention. it pays. It pays certain things. Can you just help me get that? No, you get up and get it yourself. You're not broken. Do you see what I mean? But the point I'm making is many of us are like that in life. We are so trained to only get sympathy or attention when stuff is happening in our lives. So maybe you don't want to be healed. So that's a question you and I have to answer. And that's not the thing I'm dealing with today. But Jesus asked that question because the reality is not everyone wants to be made whole. So a lot of what we're looking at today is towards those of us who have made up our minds, I want to be whole. Anybody want to be whole today? Amen. I want to be whole. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to smile on the outside and yet I'm frowning on the inside. I don't want to be in a place where I don't have all I need for all the good work. I want to be whole. I don't want to be sick in my body. I want to be whole. Anybody want to be whole? Praise God. We want to be whole because God wants you whole. And so if that is the thing you are believing for, if that is where you have your faith, because you are convinced that God wants you whole, then there is need to pay attention to the appropriate corresponding actions. And one of the appropriate corresponding actions we need to pay attention to that I am highlighting at least is this area of boundaries. You cannot be whole if your boundaries are not what they ought to be. Okay? If you truly want to be whole, then we've got to look at the boundaries in your life. Everything God created, He created it within the boundaries or within certain boundaries. In Acts 17:26, he's talking about, this is Paul speaking to the Greeks, and he says, and He made them from one blood, every nation of men, to dwell on the face of the earth. And He has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Amen? Because when God created us, He created you within some boundaries. And if you read on in that scripture, it goes on to say, in Him we live, we move, and have our being. In other words, God created you. In fact, for the believer, Christ is the boundary. Christ is our habitation. Your life is hidden in Christ with God. So in Him, we move and live and have our being. We have a boundary. We don't step outside of the boundaries of Christ in order to live a full life. If you and I are going to live a life that is full, a life that is whole, then we need to pay attention to boundaries. Everyone say boundaries. Because it is highly possible that so many of the issues you are dealing with in your life, in your relationship, the issues I am dealing with, the issues in the nations of the world are to do with some boundaries that have been breached or some boundaries that have been violated in one way or in another way. And so if you're believing to be made whole, it is appropriate corresponding action to be invested in your boundaries, okay? Your life is shaped. I heard something this week that really struck me. And it was saying that our lives are shaped by our yeses and our nos, right? All of your life is shaped by the yes you give and the no that you give. The fact right now that you are in this room, it is because you said yes to coming. In one way or the other, maybe they dragged you in, maybe they bribed you, maybe whatever they did, however, you said yes. And saying yes meant you said no to something else. And that is how life is shaped. Life happens, or our life begins, we experience, or the experience of our life, the shape of our lives is really tied in to the yeses and the nos that we give. And Jesus says something about yes and no. He says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Okay? He says, let your, Matthew 5:37, he says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. And then he says something that struck me. He says, anything outside of that is of the devil. Do we have that scripture? Just put it up on the screen. Matthew 5:37. He says, anything outside of that is from the evil one. In other words, yes and no creates boundaries. Yes and no is you define a boundary by what you say yes to or what you say no to. And if your yes is for whatever is not of these, is more than these, is from the devil. In other words, when your yes is not yes and your no is not no, and in other words, the boundary lines are not clear, you start to tamper with things that God didn't have in store for you. Are you with me this morning? Your wholeness is tied to your boundaries. Okay? Your boundaries. After praying, please put some boundaries in place. I know you've been binding the demon, right? That has been fighting you and fighting your finances and fighting your health. But after praying, please do bind those doggone demons. But after praying, we've got to do what? Put some boundaries in place. Tell your neighbor, put some boundaries in place. Okay? And so this is important. It is important that we do this, that we put these boundaries in place, because when we don't, what happens is we start to live life, a life that is less than, a life that is less than. Here is how you know that you have a few issues with boundaries. Now, I have done some work with just introducing this last week, so do go over those and get a hold of those. I am adding to some of the things that we looked at last week, and for time, I won't go over everything, but we'll just look at this as we go along. So look at this. A few ways that you know that you're having issues with boundaries and you need to set some boundaries. And I'll talk about how to set these boundaries today. Number one, you're worn out. Completely worn out because you're always compliant. You say yes to everything. Hello, Christian. You say yes to everything. Can you go visit this one? Yes. Can you? Yes. Can you come? Let's go. Yes. Can I? Yes. You don't have a life. Because you are completely on the request of other people, where everyone is asking and you are giving, and so you don't have any boundaries at all. And oftentimes we fear creating boundaries because we fear being unliked. And so here is the truth: because you don't want to be unliked, you'd prefer to be you'd be okay with being violated. As long as you are liked. Are you with me this morning? And so if that's you, you know, there is work to do where you can't say yes to everything. Amen. And I talked about this last week. It's even saying yes or no, especially saying no without having to explain yourself. Amen. The only reason we always explain ourselves is we don't want people to think that you're a bad person. You want people to think you're nice. So you say, actually, what happened is the question is, are you nice or are you not? Yeah, we are so invested in our reputation, but the reality is you ought to be invested in your character. Character is not reputation. Character actually influences your reputation. But the world we live in, you know, of filters and the world of social media, which I don't mind, I'm not against those. I'm not one of those that preaches against social media. Praise God. But what I do know is that we are taught or we are trained subconsciously to watch our reputation and to fix. You know, if there is a spot you don't like, you can fix it with the app. And so we're out there always doing the same thing in our real life conversations. We are jealously guarding our reputation that in some cases you can even be violated and be okay with it as long as they like you. But that's not wholeness. You can't be whole if they like you, but you're crying in your bed at night because you don't know who you are or you're not fulfilling your purpose. You know, you have no time to settle down and do what you like. Where do you want to eat? Or when you're with a group of friends and there is always one who always eventually wins, and we always do what they want, amen. I'm trying to call you to maybe you do want to eat something else this week. I'm gonna set somebody free. The face, your face is. I might just look at the camera because because the faces are interesting. But the point I'm making is these are little signals that give you an indication of whether or not you need to put some boundaries in place. Because here is an example of what can happen. If you're always compliant, you will eventually be full of resentment and full of bitterness and just full of anger. And one day you would just kind of, you can't even create in your life, you can't really produce if there is bitterness on the inside. You are working on with bitterness in your heart and resentment in your heart, you will be more invested in healing than creating. Because bitterness rots you from the inside out. You're saying yes, but something is broken on the inside. So you spend the time when you are meant to be creating on healing. I'm gonna drink something. It's tea, by the way, I had to explain. It's tea. It's not gin or anything. Okay? Are you listening to me? So the point I'm making is do you need, are there things you need to start learning to say no to? Okay? Hello, Christian. I know we have this need to always be liked as Christians. You know, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you should, you're not going to babysit for me? What? I thought you were a Christian. I thought these Christian people were supposed to be showing love. What is that? They're trying to manipulate you. Yeah, we'll come to that. We'll come to tantrums in a little while. They're trying to manipulate you and get you to the place where you're constantly compliant and being worn out. Let me tell you, you are important. What God has placed on your heart is necessary. We need you. We don't need your shadow. Did you hear that? It is you that God has called. It is you that he has put his hand on. It is you that we need, okay? So if you're always saying yes, perhaps we need to put some boundaries in place, and we'll talk about how. We also need to put boundaries in place if you don't have any boundaries, but you have fences. Some people don't have boundaries. They have a whole fence. You know, there is a difference between a boundary and a fence. A boundary says you may come in, but understand that beyond this point, I make the rules. I have responsibilities. There are things that I need you to pay attention to. That's what boundaries say. A fence says nobody's coming in. A fence just shuts it all out. And the thing is that God has created all of us to live together and work together and operate together. You need people. You know, you need people. You can't shut the world out. As I was preparing this, I realized I come under this. This is my table. You know, some people, there's some tables you're on and then they shake it and you fall off. You know, if this was the table, I don't know whether that analogy makes sense. It really did make sense in my mind, but God help me. But this number two, as I was reading this and thinking about, you know, whether or not which one I fall into. This is where I fall into. Because I am a loner. I'm, you know, my time of refreshing is when I'm by myself. If I'm alone, I am the happiest. I'm just like, I love my company. I just have conversations with myself. Amen. I know it's strange. I have conversation. I can just be by myself. There's some people who love to be around people. I get tired. After a while, I get tired. Right? And so I like my company. And so what I can do is if I don't catch myself, I fail to value the importance of healthy relationships. Because as much as I love my own company, I was not designed to be by myself. It is necessary to have a healthy relationship with other people. So I've got to bring down my walls. Plus, I'm also the kind of, you know, I'm also the kind of one who would erect a wall. Instead of negotiating what I'm angry about, I don't know what when I was a kid, my parents would say, you know, it's almost passive aggressive, right? You know where I'm smiling but I'm really angry, and because it looks like I'm saying yes all the time or I'm nice, it feels like I'm not doing anything about it. But the reality is if I don't, why am I telling you about myself? I feel quite exposed. But the reality is if I don't catch myself, I'm the kind of person who would you would think you've gotten away with it. But I will one day. one day. Every day, one day is just gonna come out. And so what will happen is once I'm hurt, you wouldn't even know. I'd put the walls up and wait for my chance. And the day will come, the silver bullet will come out. Bam, that's it. I'm done. The business is done. So I have to catch myself. I'm saying this where all, you know, not that I'm poisonous, but if I was poison, I would be slow poison. You know, that kind of poison that just seeps out. Everyone said, this is not who I am right now. I'm just telling you. Because I need to work on this. This is what I work on, okay? And so all of us have these different things. We put up all of these walls and we keep people out, especially in the areas where we have been hurt, in the areas where we've experienced things that are hurtful. And we build fences instead of boundaries when we're informed purely by hurt and not hope. You know, when you have been hurt and you have no hope of redemption, amen, is where you have been hurt by one man and you have no hope that there are any good men out there. So you declare all men are whatever, fish. All men are fish. And so you decide that's, I don't know how that works, but hey. But you decide this is how it is. What are you doing? You have been hurt, but you have no hope. And when we are hurt, but we don't have hope, what happens is we erect walls because we have no hope of anything better coming in. I'll move on from that and stop talking about my issues because some of you's hands, I don't know what I want to be in this church with this slow poison. Verse three. I decided that we were going to have an authentic journey. Amen. As we travel, we're going to have an authentic journey. So look at this verse three. You know you have boundary issues when you are the one who is always breaching other people's boundaries, always in people's faces. You know people that don't have an understanding of personal space. You know those people that are just always in your face. How are you today? How are you? Please, Corona, stand back, man. It's an interesting season. Amen. That's a physical manifestation of what they do. The Bible says, don't go to your neighbor's house all the time because they would hate you eventually. What happens when you do that is that you're breaching boundaries consistently and not even aware that you are doing that. You know? And so you know you need boundaries, okay? It's that friend that always, you know, you told them, no, I can't do it. You know, they sent you a text. Oh, I'm coming over. I'm bringing, you know, my child over. Can you look after them? You responded to say, actually, no, I'm actually doing something. What do? They still show up at your door. Show up at the door with the child. And now the child is looking at you with the eyes. And they're saying, you can't leave me. I need you. I need you right now. Why are you always in the crisis? Am I Jesus? Why do you need me right now? Amen. Are you listening to me? So it's those people who always encroach. Maybe you are one of those who are pushy. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being pushy or being out there. But what I mean is you know, if you are always in people's spaces, if you don't see where the lines are, there is the pushiness of a coach, which is brilliant. The job of, you know, we looked at this last week. The job of the coach is to push boundaries. Okay? Hello? The job of the coach is to expand your boundaries. Anyone with me so far? I want to make sure you get it. Okay, the job of the boundary. So in that, you know, there is a difference. Last week we looked at how it's also important to breach boundaries. There are some boundaries. Some people are catalysts. Some people are just born to stir things up because we need those to expand. Okay, so that's different to what I mean by when you know, I show up in your house. You know, and say the Lord sent me, you know, at 11 a.m. They said you should cook for me. That's breaching a boundary. You know, I could. Are you listening to me? I couldn't find a better example. I'm sorry. There are, but you get the point. It's where they breach boundaries consistently, and you need to watch out for that. So these are three different areas. I want to talk more about how to set up these boundaries because that's the key point. But I thought I'll just highlight three different ways that at least you know you might fall into one of those categories. I'm sure that there is more. But let's talk about how to set some boundaries. Start small. Okay, start with small boundaries. Practice saying no to certain things and yes to other things. Start small. Practice with those, and then you learn to set bigger boundaries. Start with your daily practices. Don't start, you know, the new year is coming. Right? The new year is coming. Is that time when we start to review all the things that we did and the things that we want to do and the things we don't want to do. Some of you are going to make a decision and you know you did it this year, it didn't work. You're going to go again by faith and say this January from this 5 times a week, I'm going to the gym. 5 times. I've made the decision. You know, if you start big, the reality is you are probably going to hurt yourself. But I like how one of my friends put it. It says, don't set the goal to go 5 times a week. Set the goal to open your door and go out. Does that make sense? Let's say if you want to start running, don't start by saying, I'm going to set 5 miles every day. You haven't even walked. Right? You haven't, in your house, you still have a scooter. You know, you go from the sofa to the fridge. Wow. And yet you want to run 5 miles, right? No, don't do that. I love how my friend put it. He said, don't set the goal for 5 miles. Set the goal to just open the door. Every Monday, make sure if you on the day you want to run, set the goal to whatever happens, because you know, that's the hardest part. The running is not the issue. It's when the alarm goes off and the duvet is calling your name. The duvet is saying, you know, we got something good here. The duvet is saying, do you want to just stay here? Because you know how cold it is there. I am anointed to keep you warm. And the duvet is calling your name. And now in that moment, you have a decision. That's the hardest part, where you start small, open that door, go outside, lock the door. Even if you stand outside and don't run, you've won. It's a start. Start small. Tell your neighbor, start small. Before you start trying to cut off all your friends, you know, because you're setting boundaries, because this is the other thing we do. Oh, my friends, right now, some of you are thinking about your friends that have encroached in your boundaries and you're going to cut them off. No, this is a new season. I'm deleting all my friends on social. No, start small. Start with what's going on in your house. Start with yourself. Start with setting boundaries for yourself. Decide up front what you are going to allow yourself to do. Are you with me so far? Tell your neighbor, start small. Okay, number two, setting boundaries involves predetermining your behavior. What are you going to do in this scenario or in that scenario? This is how you can stop reacting and start responding. There is a difference to reacting and responding. Many people react, not many respond. Amen? So how, if you are going, and I'll talk about this later on as well, if you're going to create boundaries, think about different scenarios. In fact, it is important to learn to think. Slow down and think. Okay? Do you know how many of us don't think? You know, James, I think it's James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to be angry, slow things down and think. Right? I love this example. Remember Jesus, they bring the adulterous woman before Jesus and they ask him a question. They say to Jesus, should this woman has just been caught in the act of committing adultery. They're ready to stone her. And they're asking, what do you say, Rabbi? And I love how Jesus does not rush to give a response. He just stops and writes on the ground. And I think sometimes it is important that you're not in a hurry to respond, right? You know, take the time to stop before you respond. Because if you, for instance, the point I'm making is this, if, for instance, you have been reacting, you know, there are certain people who just have your button. You know, some people just know you. They know what to say. Come on, I don't know if I came to speak to some real people in the house today, or did you come to hear about Meshach and Shadrach? Okay? No, I came to bring some real stuff. Some people know you. Your boss knows what to do. All they just need to do is just say, overtime. All they need to do is time and a half. Suddenly your salvation is out the window. You're like, ooh, you think of all the bills you can pay. They know you, and so those triggers. So what we've got to do is, if you're going to break those things, you've got to determine upfront how you're going to behave. Amen? You can't wait till it happens. The Bible talks about the evil day. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the full armor of God, right? So that you can withstand, you can be able to withstand evil on the evil day. But he says, put it on first. He didn't say, wait for the evil day and then put on the armor. It's too late, right? So what we do is predetermine your behavior. Have an idea. Who are you going to be? Amen? Who are you going? I remember making a decision that I will not be the person who flops around when there is chaos. Because it doesn't work. I'm not going to be the one who is angry all over the place. I decided up front. No, I'm going to be calm. The next time that there is a storm, I'm going to be calm. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to flop around. I'm not going to react. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to be still. So most of the time when there is chaos, whether it's between me and my wife, where we have holy arguments, because it's obviously we're pastors, our arguments are only ever holy, right? They're not unholy. So that's why I prefix it by leave it alone. Whether it's in that or whether it is something that's happening in the world, make a decision up front. Who are you going to be in turmoil? Who are you going to be in these different? This is why we need to think. Everyone say think. Okay, take time to think. Many of us don't think a lot. Many of us just react to life, right? Especially with all of the entertainment. Stop and think. What will happen? What would happen if this happened? What would happen if that happened? What would happen if this person said this to me? What would happen if... Think. Just stop and think. And then choose your response. Let the Spirit of God guide you. If you don't choose to walk in love up front, you won't walk in love. If you don't choose to be in peace, amen, they will steal your peace. So the point I'm making is whatever you do, choose your behavior up front. Think and don't just think, formulate a response, and not just react, okay? You're not an animal, you're a human being, okay? The difference between an animal and a human being is that we have conscious thoughts, we can change our mind. There are certain birds that in certain seasons, they just start flying in a particular direction. And even if they're flying to their death, it's what they do. They will fly, they will die. You're not like that. If you're going down a particular path, you can change. But if you stop, if you'd never stop and think, you would always do what you've always done. Hey, neighbor, stop and think. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, think about what kind of person do you want to be? What kind of things will you take? If you're going into a relationship, you can't decide in the relationship whether or not or where the boundaries are. You decide upfront. Amen? Upfront. No, I don't do this, 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 and this. And then in the middle of the relationship, you talk about those things. And you know, the reality is boundaries are not irrevocable. You can change boundaries. Amen? Amen. Okay. I really wish I could see your eyes. Okay? So stop and think. Think about your behavior up front, because it will help you when the time comes. Identify number three, or whatever number this is. Identify the unmet need that underpin these boundary issues. Right? What are you craving? I used, you know, the example of attention with our children sometimes. Sometimes our children, or sometimes we grow up and we're craving certain things that, in fact, a lot of our issues stem from your family. You know, you should take time and think about your childhood, okay? Because a lot of the things that we deal with in life stem from our family or from the experiences we have. The ideas, they stem from all of those places. So think about, take time and think about what is it that I am craving that makes me allow this person breach my boundary every time, okay? Amen. Some of us, there are boundaries where the Lord has, where there are clear boundaries, but we allow those boundaries to be breached, not because we're necessarily bad people, but because there is a desire you have, a desire that you need to be met. It's just like the man who has, you know, the one who has deep needs for intimacy with God might be found in a brothel, right? You can look at that person and call them all kinds of names because of where you found them. But the reality is there was a need that they are craving in their hearts that they didn't know how to meet except by breaching that boundary. Okay? So ask yourself questions. Why am I feeling this? Why do I always, let me just bring, I've been putting this thing too up there. Why do I like bad boys? Have you ever heard girls say, you know, I just like he's too nice. May the Lord deliver you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is the man working all his life to be a good man. And then he shows up and you say, he's too good for me. Do you hear the gravity of all of that? Thank you. I'm okay. Thank you so much, man. Do you hear the gravity of what's going on there? No, that's not the will of God for you. The reality is you're craving something. And, oh, man, I found that we need Jesus, you know. Our need for Jesus is deep. You know, you can fall in love with your abuser. Okay, let me put it a different way. You can start to love the thing that you can start to love the violation of your boundaries. Did you hear what I said? You can actually, some of our boundaries, you don't just think about the boundaries that you don't enjoy people breaching. There are boundaries that the Lord has set for us that you enjoy when it is breached. Amen. When I was in church, when I was young, they used to tell me about sin. They used to say sin is nasty. Sin, how can people sin? Until I grew up, I realized, I said, how can people not sin? Because let me tell you, I know the church folk makes you, there is pleasure in sin. I talked about this before, and it's possible to get, It's a terrible thing when you go to the wrong source to satisfy a legitimate pleasure. Are you listening to me? And so what we've got to investigate in our lives is understand, okay, what need, if I'm breaching this boundary sexually, for instance, what is the need that I have to be met? Because this is how some of us pray. Right, and I pray with people, counsel people who, particularly in sexual areas where there is a violation, oftentimes people will come and we're feeling bad about the sexual violation, which is understandable. But the real prayer is not, Lord, I don't want to do this again. Help me. No, that's not the real prayer. The real prayer is, Lord, what is it that I need? What is it that I was hungry for that made me accept something that you said wasn't for me? Did you hear what I just said? So what I'm asking you to do, you know, if it's finances, it's the same thing. If you would rather step over your family, right? If it ensures that you make extra money this week or this month, you're breaching their boundaries. So the question you need to ask is, why do I have to have this money? Because when you can answer that question, perhaps then the Lord has something to start to guide you to. Because, you know, you're not really, I hope this is making sense. I hope I'm not just rambling. Because you're not really, freedom doesn't really come from deliverance from something. You know, in other words, you feel bound to something and you feel, I want to be free. Lord, set me free, set me free. Freedom doesn't come when you come out of Egypt. Freedom comes when you attach yourself to the one who brought you out. Freedom is not a separation from something that you hate. Freedom is an attachment to someone that you love. Does that make sense? We as believers, we don't get delivered by not sinning. We get delivered by our love for Christ. The two different things. And so it's changing the boundaries. It's changing where you are attaching yourself to. So ask yourself questions. What is it that I need? What is it that I need that is making me go from relationship to relationship? What am I craving that means that I don't want to attach myself to one relationship? What is that desire? And that's where we start to pray from. That's where we start to ask the Lord, Lord, I have this desire to be intimate with you. So Lord, help me. You see what I mean? And then he starts to give you wisdom and give you God. If you don't deal with what's in your heart, with the boundaries, the things going on in your heart, you then it becomes a real challenge to deal with the boundaries without. I'm hoping the Spirit of God will help me articulate these things as I go ahead. And as I speak about this. Okay, number four, investigate the way you treat yourself. Okay, pay attention. How do you treat? I'm talking about how to set boundaries. If you don't treat yourself well, you can't teach others to treat you. Jesus put it this way. He says that we love, this is the greatest commandment. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is a need for you to know how to love yourself. Right? It's not a selfish thing. It is a need to learn how do you treat yourself? What words do you say to yourself? See, sometimes we allow people to violate our peace or our well-being with the words they say because we use those words ourselves. You can't be angry with somebody for calling you a certain thing that you even call yourself worse. You can't set a boundary in that area if you don't set it in your mind. If you don't start to treat yourself well, you will never be equipped to teach people how to treat you. Because boundaries, in particularly relationships, is really about teaching people, those you are in some kind of relationship with, how to treat you. But you've got to treat yourself like that first. Amen? How do you treat yourself? What do you say to yourself? How do you care for yourself? If you never settle down, I promise you, if you never settle down and look after yourself, you're always going, you will probably be more susceptible to being violated by your boss who will always just pile work on your table. You will accept that as normal and not have any time off yourself. Are you with me so far? How are you treating yourself? How are you caring for yourself? Because boundaries are about teaching those around you how to treat you. Number five, learn to interrogate your soul. Learn to interrogate yourself. I love this about David. This is one that the Lord spoke to me recently about, and I've been talking about this. David stopped, and David would ask himself, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? You know, why are you feeling, why are you anxious? Why are you, ask your soul questions. Your soul is yours. Amen? You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So listen, your soul is not you. It's not you, really. Your spirit is you. And your soul is yours. It's a thing God has given you. So, you know, if you feel a certain way, we're not led by our soul. We're led by the spirit. And unless the soul is not in line with the spirit, hey, soul, where are you going? You know, you ever been really angry with your children or angry with somebody, you're about to do something stupid? You can catch your soul. Soul, come back here. We don't do that. Where are you going? Ask your soul questions. Why are you feeling? Why are you formulating this text message? You know how it is. You know how you deleted 300 messages before you send the one, oh, I'm fine. Or you deleted all of those messages and said, God bless you. Before you said, God bless you, you know that the previous messages were not scriptural. Amen. But you deleted all of those. It's catching your soul. Amen. This is why I think it's important to pause and think. Because in the time that you pause, if you need to, please just count. Or just walk, or just count to 10 before you say anything. You know, or put the phone down and walk away. Whenever I receive a message that makes my heart, I tend to just stop and walk away. Just stop, walk away, and think. Or play music. Is this too practical? Just play music. Just listen. Or pray. Or just pray in tongues. If I'm really anxious, I pray in tongues. Just pray. What are you praying? I don't know, but just pray. What I'm trying to do is I'm interrogating my soul. Talk to your soul. Say, Paul said this. He says, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Then he says to his soul, come, let us praise the Lord. We will praise him. Amen. I should have got that scripture. I'll post it on social media if you follow me. Okay, I didn't have it in my notes. But he talks to himself and he says, no, so we're going to magnify the Lord. We will praise him. So take time to interrogate your soul. Boundaries help you analyze your emotions. The feelings of resentment can be telling you you're sick of permitting this boundary. If you ask yourself, why am I feeling anger towards this person? Every time I see them, I show up at work, they haven't even done anything to me, but I'm already angry that they're smiling. You know, you know how it is. You just kind of. Why are you even smiling? Why are you happy? You know, you just kind of ask yourself questions. Don't accept. I just don't like them. I don't know why, but I just don't. Don't be that Christian, you know, who just feels like there is something in my spirit that doesn't like this one. You better find out what it is, because you are commanded to love. And if you don't interrogate your soul, you cannot love appropriately. The final one yes, thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate it. Thank you. I love these guys. Psalm 43, verse 5. Psalm 43 was where David is interrogating his soul. And he says to his soul, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? So make a note of that. I want to talk about this final one. If you're going to develop boundaries, develop tolerance for tantrums. Right? Because they will throw tantrums. The first time you say no, oh, there's going to be a tantrum. The first time, you know, we talked about this last week, and I don't think, maybe the aunties and the parents did not like that one, but hey, the first time you tell your parent, actually, mom, I don't think I want to be a doctor. There's going to be tantrums. Amen? There's going to be all kinds of, you know, many of us never really grow up. We grow up in our bodies, but in our souls, we're still little children. And so the first time you hear no, I can't believe you just said no to me. Some people will be shocked that you didn't have their own opinion. You know, some people will be shocked that you actually think for yourself. That you actually this time didn't agree. I think we should go Chinese. No. I feel like chicken today. What? Amen. So be prepared. Don't default when the tantrums come. There will be tantrums. Some will not talk to you for a while, but you've got to make a decision. Do you want everyone to talk to you, or do you want to be whole? Do you want to go to jail, or do you want to go home? Sorry, there was a preacher that said that in a movie. No, it's not a preacher. Sorry. Okay, you know the film. Anybody? No, don't watch the film. I'm not going to say it. Don't watch the film. But he said, the policeman arrests people, and he always asks them, do you want to go to jail or do you want to go home? You have to make a decision now. And oftentimes, I feel like that's such a telling question. At certain points in your journey, you have to make a decision. Do you want to go home or do you want to go to jail? In other words, when people throw tantrums in your life without stopping to listen simply because you said no or simply because you had a different opinion, when people do that, oftentimes, you have a decision. Do I want to be whole or do I want to keep my boundaries or keep having my boundaries consistently breached? Amen? Be ready to deal with the blah, 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 with the tantrums. There's so much I want to say, but I have to park. Father, please take these words that I've spoken today. I pray you breathe upon them. I pray you ride on these words to bring wholeness to the hearer. I pray that, Lord, everything you intended when you gave me these words for your people, Lord, may they be established. May they come to pass in the lives of your people. I know you want to see us whole. You want to see us strong. You want to see us restored. We pray that this will be our experience. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who believe said amen. 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 Have you been blessed today?